you've had a good day?
Yay!
Yeah, good stuff. I'll tell you what, tonight there's going to be some repeats. So God must really have something he wants to get through to all of us. Because, you know, us speakers, the team, we've not had much time this summer. I've been busying, holidaying all over the place, sorry. But no, I'm not really. And there's been a heck of a lot going on. Life has been busy. And even up till Wednesday of this week, we were still very much, seriously. And yet, God is just incredible, isn't he? He is amazing. And what a great day. So hopefully, I will finish off on a winning note. So do I press play or top one?
Is it on?
My helper bill's turned on. That's mere technology.
Yes, on now.
Okay. Ah! Right, I warned you. Okay, right, let's start. Right, between Sundays. Right, I've really struggled, actually, for quite a while as to whether it's right for me to even be here and to speak. But God's put it on my heart for a reason. So here I am, and this is very much for me as well. So before we go into that, I'm going to head this talk, give it a title of Thinking, Speaking, Acting. Do we honour God? So, all Christians are hypocrites. Yeah. It's probably no surprise that many people who aren't Christians associate the word Christian with the word hypocrite. Christians have unfortunately developed a reputation of saying one thing and doing or living another thing. Does who we are, what we say, and what we do on a Sunday match who we are, what we say, and what we do in the days in between? Earlier this year, Ladies Bible Study here at TBC, one I'm involved in, studied the book of James. So if you want to ever do a self-check, this is a good place to see what God has to say about how to conduct ourselves, especially when things are tough, so that we don't get caught out or slip up into worldly ways. And it's very easy to do that. James 1 says, so first repeat, James 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So at various times in our lives, we go through trials and temptations and crises. And believe it or not, God uses and he allows these things, these experiences, to reshape us, to mould us, and to conform us into his perfect, glorious image, the image of Jesus Christ. I've had the privilege of standing here now for 6 years. Whoop-whoop. And in recent years, we have covered topics of, anybody? Beauty for ashes. Faith comes in the morning. Absolutely. So those are the last two. Both beautiful messages of plans, restoration, salvation, hope, acceptance. All of these things are found only in the loving arms of Jesus. And often they become even more precious and even more beautiful when we are in a waiting season or a season where things are really tough or difficult, because it's in those times that we learn to hold on the tightest. During this year, especially since God gave me the title for this conference, I've often wondered if God has been thinking, okay, Kate, so you've talked about joy and beauty in hard times. Now I want to see you live it. Now don't get me wrong, I don't think God is vindictive or mean, but as James says, God wants us to mature and grow, and often that's through hard times. 18 months ago, I lost my father-in-law. The time for my husband's family was devastating. It felt very much like the week Joe and I spent there after Dad's passing with his sister, his mum and his uncle. We were literally there to keep the peace, to keep the calm between mum and sister. It was really, really tough, very, very difficult. And for several weeks, we were away from our children and from our own home. Moving on, my eldest son, Adam, he moved out of our family home. And oh my word, I found that hard. Myra, you'll remember, I found it hard. Never mind the fact that he moved 5 minutes down the road to Minadon. My boy was leaving home and I struggled. I really struggled. As the months went on, my mum-in-law's health was declining. Many of you know that she had a breakdown a few years ago. Well, it was declining again. So Joe and I would have daily conversations with her over the phone, trying to encourage her and support her and pray with her. Home life was flat out. Several nights of the week, Joe and I had something going on. By day, homeschooling and family commitments. By night, house group, prayer meeting, art club, ladies study, men's group. Plus, I had cleaning jobs and church commitments. So we were doing stuff all over the place, and it was all good stuff. But we weren't actually having any of just us time. In fact, the days or nights we didn't do anything were the nights when Joe was at work. And then when he came home in the morning, he would sleep, and then it would start all over again. So stresses and problems were attacking us from all angles. Even if on the outside we looked like we had it all together, life became about coexisting and pleasing others. So Christmas was over last year. Mum's health was still bad. So Joe would go to Oxford when he could for a few days at a time to give his sister a bit of respite. And then moving on, my dad. So my dad's health started to drastically decline. And I felt a really heavy burden to get in the shop and back up Mum so she could be with Dad more. My dad sadly passed away in May. Sad for us, but he's with his Saviour, so glorious for him. And however much we think we are prepared for a loved one passing, you really aren't. You really are not. It's horrible. And that time was one of the hardest times of my life. So you can probably see where I'm heading. My marriage was actually coming to a grounding halt and being pushed to the limits and almost to breaking point. Since spring of this year, it's been all about change, getting our perspective right, making sure God isn't just the big rock or the little rock or the sand, but he is everything. He wants to be in everything. He wants to be in the big rock, the little rocks, and the sand. We've learned to say, no, I can't do everything, even the Christian stuff. We've learned to say sorry, and we've learned to forgive. We've changed our work-home life balance, we've cut back on working hours, and we're trusting God to continue to provide for us as a family and to make us whole again. Right, see if I can pronounce this. Kintsugi, okay? Some of you may have heard of this Japanese art. An old broken, damaged vase is put back together and repaired. Sometimes there are holes that just cannot be filled. Pieces have been lost, or perhaps they've just completely shattered. But it's in those areas that the craftsman will use precious golds or silvers to fill in the gaps and to make it whole again. And sometimes the end result is actually more exquisite than the original ever was to start with. So that's where I'm at in my life at the moment, in my walk with the Lord. I'm trusting God to fill in all those holes, all those shattered bits with his gold so that I'm more beautiful for him. And it's a long process. So this evening, I'm going to focus on Romans 12 and being a living sacrifice, what it means to be a follower of Christ. I also want to share 6 ways in which I believe the devil likes to cause havoc and that we need to be careful of. And finally, I want to finish up with talking about protecting ourselves so that when we say, what we say, what we think, and what we do is indeed the same in the week as it is on Sundays. So Romans chapter 12. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of others, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. And if you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is to give, give generously. If God has given you a leadership ability, then take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honourable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, the devil roams around like a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. Do you ever wonder why Christians are often attacked? Satan hates us. He hates that we bear the image of Jesus Christ, and he will do anything to tear down the name of Jesus Christ. And this is why we need to be so careful. People are quick to point the finger, and they are even more quick to say, yeah, and you call yourself a Christian. You're just a hypocrite. Jesus said we are to count the cost of following him. He said the pathway is very narrow and very hard. But if we walk it with him, like we learned earlier, and we carry the yoke with him, he will make it easy. But being a follower of Jesus is not for the faint-hearted. And as time goes on, it will get harder. But we must stand. We must stand on the word of God. We must stand for Jesus because he is only truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father except through the saving power of Jesus. So how do we easily fall into the trap of hypocrisy? And how does the devil cause havoc? Distraction. The devil will use anything to distract us away from God. So how many of us put TV on before God? What about meeting up with friends when it's meant to be Bible study or prayer meeting? What about five more minutes of sleep in the morning? I'll do the devotion later. That's me. I'll have 5 more minutes any time. But you see, the distractions aren't bad in themselves. But one TV program can very easily turn into a whole binge. One missing prayer meeting and, I'll miss next week. And then all of a sudden, it's been so long, I don't want to go back. It'll be weird. I don't need to go back anymore. So do you see what I'm getting at? So I'm not getting all legalistic with you. We all need to have a break from time to time. Joe and I needed to take a break. But we need to come back together. We need to have fellowship again. So if you're tempted to stay away another week, if you're tempted to watch another program or to stay in bed when you know there's a devotion waiting, don't go there. Get up. Turn the box off. Go out. Meet up with Christian friends. Don't be distracted. The devil loves that. He wins. So Romans 12 said, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies and your time to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Discouragement. Okay, one for us ladies. How often do we allow ourselves to be trodden down and to feel inadequate? Yeah, I know as ladies, many of us are guilty of this. We aren't good enough. We're not pretty enough, sexy enough, attractive enough. I'm not a good enough mum. I'm not a good enough wife. Even on social media nowadays, we put ourselves down if we don't get the thumbs up on Facebook. And what about as Christians? How many of us have had doubts? Is Jesus really the only way? Should I really just be quiet and not retaliate and turn the other cheek? Am I really going to go to heaven? Do I need to earn my salvation? Is Jesus really enough? One of the devil's oldest tricks, and it goes right back to Genesis when he spoke to Eve, did God really say? He puts discouragement and doubt into our minds. Verse 2 of chapter 12 in Romans says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And here's a few more quotes to take home. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 to 22, and it says, "I have been established and anointed and am sealed by God." 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love and a sound mind." Philippians 1 6, "I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected." And Colossians 3 3, "I am hidden with Christ in God." Whenever the devil tries to discourage you and cause doubt, put it against God's word. The truth speaks louder, and God's word is the ultimate authority. Joe and I went through the Freedom of Christ book together. Any of you done Freedom of Christ? Yep. And one of the illustrations they use in reference to 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, "Take every thought captive," was this. So imagine our minds are the control towers at an airport. Each plane needs to be given authority to take off or to come in to land. And in the same way, we too need to give authority to the thoughts, to the ideas, and to the temptations that enter our mind. Give them authority to land or take them captive and hand them over to Jesus and let it go. You have that authority. Discontentment. So there are two extremes, I think, and unfortunately, we often have the attitude of either we are better than they are, or we want what they have, or we're not good enough. Either way, this isn't how God wants us to think or act, and it certainly isn't healthy. God's law clearly states that we shouldn't covet or want what our neighbour has. Yet the devil has an amazing tool called technology and media, where things are constantly rammed into our faces. Bigger, better, brighter. You'll be healthier, fitter, stronger, sexy, more attractive. If you have this and this and even more this. The grass is greener elsewhere. What a big fat lie. And a painful lesson that gets learned the hard way, unfortunately. Temptation is only a bite away. We need to stop thinking about who we are. I'm sorry. We need to stop thinking we are more, and we need to stop thinking we are less. We need to learn and be content with who God has made us and how he has made us and what he is doing in our day-to-day lives. Even within church circles, we can often think, well, that person, they're better than me, they have a better role than me. But that person, I'm better than them because I can speak better than them. This isn't how God works, and it's not his plan. In Christ, we are all equal. We all have different giftings to use to his glory. We all make up the one body so that we can move and work together in unity. Verses 3 to 5 in Romans says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Paul goes on to talk about our giftings. Each are valuable and each are needed. One often builds and relies on another. For example, I've got this amazing uncle. He's a retired Baptist minister. He's been doing it for 40 odd years. He's a great speaker, evangelist, missionary, singer. Some of you might have met him at my dad's funeral. He's been to China, to the underground church. You know, he's done it. Ticked all the boxes when it comes to being a Christian follower, a Christ follower. But anyway, so where am I? He was and is an incredible man of God, but he would never forget the wife that God gave him. For every speaking event, for every trip, for every counselling meeting, for every prayer meeting or Bible study he held, my auntie was in the background serving, opening their home, welcoming, loving people, giving, always giving. And most importantly, she was praying, praying with him, praying for him and for the work he was doing. Was it just Uncle Chris being used in a powerful way? No, no way. Auntie Julie and countless others all had a role to play for God's kingdom. They just worked in the giftings God had given them. So let's be content to serve and let's live and have our being in what God has given us to do. God knows best. He knows us better than we do. Be content with what God has given you and be thankful. Even in the roughest, toughest, hardest times, give thanks. God is doing his work. Division. I don't like the word division. It makes things smaller and less significant. I don't like it in maths. Some people say when Jesus took the fish and the loaves for the people, he divided them so that he could fill them up. I say Jesus took the picnic lunch and he multiplied it. When Jesus spoke or done a miracle or spent time with people, there wasn't negativity or division or becoming less. Jesus is all about abundance and life and unity. This can be found when we have a saving grace with him. John 15, verse 4 says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So if we belong to Jesus, we are united with him. But the devil doesn't like it, and he does what he can to divide, to cause bitterness, to cause arguments, rejection, and separation. Since the beginning, it has been God's plan that marriage be a man and a woman joined together, in which children can be brought up in the wisdom and knowledge of God, so that when they too are grown up, they might follow the same pattern. Makes sense. Marriage is also a picture of Christ and his church. The family unit was God's idea, and it is still the best idea for raising children. It's in God's word, so it must be truth. More than ever is the church under attack by division today, and so much of it comes down to God's picture of marriage and family and God-appointed roles and what it should and shouldn't be. God's plan is that Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the wife, the husbands are to love their wives like Christ loves the church. Blokes, there's only a few of you in here, but I hope you're working on that. And wives are to, where have I got to again? Oh dear me. Wives are to submit to their husbands, and together, husbands and wives are to submit to the Lord out of reverence. And that's in Ephesians 5. Ladies, what do our men want more than anything? Not including motorbike or a fancy sports car. Pardon? Yeah, okay, dinner, that's a fair point. But seriously, mostly, men, if they're honest, they want respect and they want support from their wife and children. And what do us women want? We want to have love and security. Nothing has changed in God's plan. He is the same yesterday, today, and he will be the same forever. And God's way provides for that. But what about other things that go on in our world? Prejudice, racism, equality. So I'm not all about men and women being the same, because we are built differently in every way. But in standing and in value, we are all equal and precious in God's eyes. But how do we treat our neighbour who's been gossiping about us? Or the friend who hurt us? Or the family member who's left us? How often do we hold on to grudges and hurts? And how quickly does that grudge or hurt turn into resentment and anger and spite and nastiness? Keep a short account. One piece of advice I was given when I was getting married: never go to bed on an argument and keep a short account with God. Forgive, let go, and let God. Another one. It's been a few. The longer we hold on to that hurt, ladies, the more damage we are doing to ourselves. Yes, it takes time, it takes practice, it takes trusting God and praying lots and lots. But God is faithful. In a book I'm currently reading by Karen Kingsbury, anybody know Karen Kingsbury books? Yeah. Whoa, yeah. A daughter says to her mum, "Mummy, if you forgive, you'll stop hurting and you'll be happy again." And it's very true. Ask God to help you build bridges of reconciliation, but be patient and let God work. For that reason, Paul writes in verses 9 to 13, "Don't just pretend to love others. Really, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality." Unity, working together to get the job done, love one another, work, pray, serve, and do it all unto the Lord. Deception. How many of us are deceived into thinking it won't hurt? Deception is basically twisting or distorting the truth so it doesn't seem quite so bad. And yes, we all do it from time to time. From a little thing like, no one will notice me taking a big skit out of the jar, to a full-blown lie such as, no one's going to get hurt, no one's doing me any harm, I can do what I want, no one will find out, I can stop whenever I want, I'm in control. Yeah, you can see how silly it sounds and the dangers of deception. It's like walking on a slippery surface and thinking it's all going okay until you fall flat. The devil is a liar and the father of all liars, but he was also the most beautiful of all God's angels. He was a beautiful cherub angel, but God said to him, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. The devil is out and about deceiving the people of the world. But be careful, because he's also deceiving God's people too. Deception is often like a mirage. You think you see something. You think you feel something. You think you want something that isn't even real. It's a trick on your mind that the devil plays to take you away from God. But it's dangerous, because ultimately it causes hurt for yourself, your loved ones, and most importantly, it causes separation between you and God. If you're in a situation, ladies, where you're being deceived, please cry out to God. He's waiting and he is willing. So don't allow yourself to get pulled down even further. And if you are on a slippery slope, like I said, he's willing to pull you back and to stand you up again. He will take away any shame and wipe away all those tears. He loves a truly repentant heart. The bent rod he will not break, and the smoking flax he will not let go out. So hold on to him. He will make you strong, and he will reignite your fire. God's plan for your life is the best one. So I challenge you, ladies, when you go home tonight, give your hubby a cuddle and tell him he's amazing. Tell your kids how proud you are of them. Girls, I'm very proud of you. Monday morning, be grateful for your job, your provision, and the people around you. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking what God has given you isn't the best. God's plan is always the best. Destroy. And lastly, the devil wants to destroy. He wants to destroy God's name. He wants to destroy your relationship with the Lord. He wants to destroy your marriages, your families, your homes, your friendships. He is very real and active. If a lion was in this room right now, would you not fight for all you're worth? You would, wouldn't you? You'd certainly give a good try anyway. But the devil will try and destroy by any means. Words, actions, inaction can destroy. He'll use people, media, your health, finances, career, money, sex, and even your own kids. When people don't have support or fellowship or encouragement, they become vulnerable and easy targets. So please don't go it alone. Remember, even two have a better reward and can resist attack. We need each other. As iron sharpens iron, we too need to sharpen each other, encouraging, building up, praying and supporting one another. The devil is all about destruction and death. Jesus is all about life and wholeness and fullness. I know which one I'm choosing. Chrissy talked to some of us earlier in one of the workshops about the importance of encouragement and sharing and getting alongside someone, confessing our sins to one another, being accountable. Well, we're all called to be watchmen or watchwomen, covering each other's backs. We are in a battle. Jesus has won the final victory, but until he returns, the devil knows his days are numbered and he is fighting for all his worth. Romans 12 finishes by saying, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. And finally, verse 21 says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So coming back to the title of this conference between Sundays, being a follower of Jesus isn't just about meeting together on Sundays. What about in between? We must be seen and heard to be living godly lives, staying close to Jesus, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, being the hands and the feet of Jesus every day to the people around us and in any situation. We need to be bold and courageous, not embarrassed and fearful. And I know that's easier said than done, but it's a practice. We also need to be transparent. After all, we're still humans and we do make mistakes, and that's okay. It's okay for people to see a struggle, but let's be honest about it. We also need to allow people to minister to us, even if it hurts our pride. Humble pie is good for you. We need to be healed and restored sometimes too. In order to safeguard ourselves, we need to put God first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Walking closer to the Lord means a much less chance of the devil getting a foothold. Joe and I often remind each other, think wisely, speak wisely, act wisely, so that way you may bring honour to God. Girls, would you like to come up and do some readings, please? Somebody's tired. Okay, so Alice goes P, Grace H, and then Grace H, and then that's me, Grace, right?
Okay. Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2 says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God.
Verses 15 to 20 say, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Is the last bit yours?
Okay,
yeah.
And finally, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Amen. Can I just ask the band to come up and play quietly for a few moments? I would just like to encourage you, ladies, just for a few moments before we have the last couple of songs. Over this past year, I've struggled quite a lot, as I've just opened up about. And I've had to get to points where I've really had to forgive, and it's been hard, and let go and let God. And I just want to say to any of you tonight, if there are things in your life that are unresolved, if you have things with your families or with friends or work colleagues where there's resentment or bitter or hurt, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to that person or go to that situation. It's about getting before God and you letting go, okay? Because it hurts us. We're the ones who get exhausted. We're the ones who get battered. So if there's anything that any of you can think of right now, just for a few moments, just be quiet, lay your hands out, and just at the throne of the Lord, at the cross, at the foot of the cross, just lay it down, just for a few moments.